Good morning, KCC. As Pastor Santis told us, we are in the midst of a six-week series on the Holy Spirit called Catching Fire. And we borrowed that title from the most recent Hunger Games movie. Now, we know those movies aren't necessarily Christian in nature, but we are intrigued by their popularity, their broad appeal. And we have concluded that the reason so many people have gotten interested in the Hunger Games is because it's a great adventure. We as believers know that the greatest adventure of all is that of following Jesus Christ. And it's the Holy Spirit that serves as our inspiration, our guide in the midst of that adventure. You see, when you enter into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you catch fire. Now, no need to stop, drop, and roll on the spot. This catching fire comes through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And when our lives fan into flame, that spark that is then planted within us, it changes absolutely everything. A couple weeks ago, Pastor Bill Johnson challenged us in that the Holy Spirit changes our course of action, what we say, where we go, who we talk to, what we do. And that is true. But this week, we're going to back up again a bit and recognize that what we do is rooted in who we are. It is our character that determines our course of action. And we will realize as well that this is a matter of life and death. It's a matter of living the abundant life God has called us to, or living a life in bondage to the sinful desires within us. Won't you join me for a word of prayer before we jump into the text? Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the presence of your Holy Spirit within us. Lord, change us from the inside out. Make us more like you. I pray that your Holy Spirit fills us so during this time together, Lord, that we can't help but be receptive to the change that you want to do in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you've seen the Hunger Games movies, you know that in the first one, two of the major characters, Katniss and Peeta, strategically use poisonous berries as a means to overcoming the futility of the Hunger Games. The Apostle Paul also uses the imagery of fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, to help us understand our means for overcoming the futility of living the Christian life in our own strength. And he does that in Galatians chapter 5. If you have your Bible, I invite you to turn to Galatians 5 with me, starting in verse 16. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance or kindness or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Now, Paul is making a huge contrast here. On one side, he's describing the life, the character of those who live according to the flesh or according to their sinful desires. And you look at that list in verses 19 to 21 and you say, I don't want a life like that. What's the alternative? He contrasts that with a life lived by the Spirit, rooted in the presence of God within us that bears fruit of things like love and joy and peace. And you say, that's the life I want to live. Whenever I hear the list of the fruit of the Spirit, of these characteristics, the love, the joy, the peace, it takes me back to my first Sunday preaching in a new context of ministry when I moved to Southern California. I was with high school students, and I thought it would be a great idea to have a big fruit basket with 9 pieces of fruit in it for each fruit of the Spirit, and I even wrote them on each one with a permanent marker. And then as I was speaking about each one, I was going to throw it into the crowd of students. Great idea, right? I didn't take 2 things into consideration. Number one, I have a terrible throw. I ride horses. I don't play softball. So that was a problem. And then I didn't think about the fact that getting clocked in the head by a hard piece of fruit was not exactly the way to win favor with these students I was just beginning to lead. So I will not subject you to that today. But the list is important. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Early in my years of youth ministry, the whole WWJD thing was really hot. Do you remember that? The whole what would Jesus do? We had the bracelets and we wore the t-shirts and we challenged students especially that anytime you're faced with a decision, you should first ask yourself, what would Jesus do? Now, I think that whole campaign had value, but it was missing something. You know what was missing? It's really hard to anticipate what someone is going to do if you don't know who they are. How could our students know what Jesus would do if they didn't know what he was like? My time probably would have been better spent just going through God's word with students for them to really know who this Jesus was and is. Maybe I should start a new campaign, WWJC, what was Jesus' character? Because that would press us in to really know the character of Jesus. You see, the fruit collectively describe the character of Jesus Christ. And I love the practicality of Paul's teaching here. In Scripture, we hear that we are to be holy, even as Jesus is holy. And we're supposed to put on the mind of Christ and the character of Christ. But what does that look like? It's the fruit of the Spirit, as described for us here. Now, in this short 6 weeks, there's no way we can fully explore all of the Scriptures that can teach us about the Holy Spirit. John 16 is a passage I challenge you to read on your own. It's Jesus' own description of the work of the Holy Spirit that was to come. And in the midst of that passage, he says this in John 16, 15. He said that the Holy Spirit would make him known. Now, I believe that the Spirit does that in a variety of ways, but one of the prime ways involves you and me. You see, the Holy Spirit produces in us a Christ-like character. And as that Christ-like character is revealed to the world around us, we are making Jesus known. The Spirit works in cooperation with us to make Christ known. Now, as the pastor of spiritual formation, I get a pretty common question. It goes something like this. Kathy, how can I really know if I'm making progress spiritually? How do you really measure the change that is or isn't going on inside of my heart? And there's no formula for it, as much as we wish there was sometimes. But I think the fruit of the Spirit are one of the best indicators for us on how well we are or aren't doing spiritually. If I were to approach the people in your world, the people who know you best, would they say that you're more loving than you were a year ago? Would they say that when you're in the midst of uncertainty or difficult situations that, man, you just have this peace about you that you didn't always have? If I were to ask your kids, or kids, if I were to ask your parents, are you displaying more kindness now than you used to? What would they say? That's a key gauge for us to know whether or not we are making progress spiritually, whether or not we are truly growing. Now, it may seem like it's splitting hairs here, but there's a detail I would like for you to notice in the text. Notice that in verse 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is. It doesn't say the fruits of the Spirit. So the Spirit does not produce within us all these different kinds of fruit. It's this collective fruit, this description of Christ-like character. It's like when you look at a peach about ready to pick off of a tree. You can describe it many ways. It's soft, it's juicy, it's sweet. And the character that the Spirit produces within us can be described as love, joy, peace, patience, and so on. Now, I think we can track up to this point, right? The fruit of the Spirit is really a life lived by the Spirit. It's produced by God, and it's where we want to be. It's the character that we want to be shown through us. But where we get confused is this: how we attain it. How we attain it. That's where we get it so confused so often. And I think that confusion is rooted in we forget who the fruit belongs to. It's not the fruit of Kathy. It's not the fruit of Jack. It's not the fruit of Rhonda. It's the fruit of the Spirit. And because this fruit belongs to the Spirit, only the Spirit can produce this fruit within us. The fruit of the Spirit cannot be grown by our own efforts. Now, I know that I've even done this, but a typical response to reading through the fruit of the Spirit is to list all the fruit on one side of a piece of paper and then to sit down and make your action plan, right? How am I going to be more loving? How am I going to be more patient? How am I going to show more self-control? And while I think the intentions are good in that endeavor, it's misguided. Because who can produce the fruit? The Spirit, and only the Spirit. I think it's helpful for us to assess which of those descriptions of the fruit of the Spirit are a greater challenge for us, so we can be prayerful about that, so we can seek God's help in that. But if we try to produce this fruit, we are going to fail. We have to have clarity here on what is God's part of the equation and what is our part. Listen to what Dietrich Bonhoeffer said about the fruit of the Spirit. He said, "Fruit is always the miraculous, the created. It is never the result of willing, but always a growth. The fruit of the Spirit is a gift of God, and only He can produce it. They who bear it know as little about it as the tree knows of its fruit. They know only the power of Him on whom their life depends." You know, throughout this whole series, we've been talking about the mystery of the Holy Spirit. And there's a mystery about it, isn't it? We can't quite figure the Spirit out, and some of you may be frustrated by that. But I challenge you not to be frustrated by the mystery of it all, but just to stand in awe of the mystery and to be thankful for it. Every time you or I display Christ-like character, it is a miracle. It is a miracle. It is something supernatural that happens with us, within us, via the Holy Spirit that causes growth. There's no formula. Our action plans fail. Now, why do they fail? That's a fair question. Why isn't it a good idea just to sit down and make our action plans? I think that's revealed to us in verse 17 why they fail. "For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want." Can't you picture this internal tug of war that's going on within us? Those sinful desires have this pull on us, and we are not strong enough in our own power to resist that pull. Only the Spirit is strong enough to counteract that force within us. So how do we proceed? Do we just passively respond and say, "Well, I guess God will do what God will do"? No. Look at the good news in verse 24. "Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires." So when we identify with Jesus Christ, when we identify our lives with Him, we gain the capacity, the power to overcome those sinful desires that lurk within us. Through Jesus, life, death, and resurrection. But those sinful desires still lurk. And we're in a place where we have a choice. We're no longer in bondage to that sin. We have the opportunity, we have access to the power to overcome it, but we must choose to yield to the Holy Spirit, to not try to do that tug of war on our own strength, because we're gonna fail. We have to step aside and say, Spirit, will you tug for me? Will you pull me in the right direction? It's all about the Spirit. So when we identify with Christ, we identify with His death, and that involves our dying to ourselves. And that's not something that just happens once and we're done. Phew, that was painful, done. It happens moment by moment, day by day. Now, there's kind of a paradox here that undergirds this whole concept of the fruit of the Spirit. And the paradox is this: death to self is a prerequisite to a life that bears fruit. We have to get out of the way to make room for the Spirit to completely fill us, to make room for the Holy Spirit to produce that fruit from within. You see, we are not the tree that produces the fruit. We simply house the tree that produces the fruit. And our role is to tend to that tree. We got to get out of the way so that the Spirit can do His work, and the fruit be shown through our lives. It's kind of like this. A few years ago, I thought it was a brilliant idea to get my husband college basketball tickets for a birthday gift. It's still a good idea. Thanks for that affirmation. So, I got him Michigan State basketball tickets, and don't get all upset about which. We don't care which Michigan team does what. We're Seminoles fans. Go Seminoles, okay? National champions. But that's for my husband's behalf. I promised him I would do that, give a shout out to his team. But anyway, it was Michigan State tickets, and I got online, and I got the best deal on tickets. I was so proud of myself. Got one for Aaron, got one for my brother, my nephew. Well, they got to the basketball game in the middle of a Michigan blizzard nonetheless, and they discovered why I got such a good deal on those tickets. It was an obstructed view. And not just a mildly obstructed view, kind of like this. There was a pillar in front of their seats that they couldn't see around. So they could hear the game, but they couldn't see the game, all right? Now, stick with me here, track with me. There was nothing wrong with the game going on, right? The problem was there was something in their way of seeing it. The same thing goes in our spiritual lives. The Holy Spirit is working in us. There's nothing wrong with the level of productivity and activity of the Holy Spirit within us. We just have to get out of the way so that activity can be seen in our lives. Is your life an obstructed view, or is there a clear view for the Holy Spirit to be displayed through you? Now, no worries, I did redeem myself. It took 6 years. I'm blessed with a patient husband. But a few weeks ago, he got to go to a Michigan State basketball game again. But this experience was totally different. You see, when I decided to attempt this again, I knew I needed help. So I called his best friend, Josh, whose brother happens to work for the Michigan State Athletic Department. And I said, Josh, help me out here. Can you give me some guidance? He said, I can do better than guidance. Great. And he hooked us up. So a few weeks ago, Aaron and Josh went to the Michigan State game. They got to go into the locker room. They got to meet the coach and the team. They had courtside seats. The experience far exceeded their expectations and was so much better than anything I could orchestrate on my own. And I learned an important life lesson. It's all about connections, right? There's truth to that spiritually. It's all about our connection to the Holy Spirit. And when we tend to that tree within, when we make the most of that connection, then what we will experience will far exceed anything we could orchestrate in our own effort. You see, God has given us everything we need to succeed. I think one of the most encouraging scriptures in the entire Bible is 2 Peter 1:3. It says that His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and His own goodness. If you think about that, we have opportunity to be in relationship with the Spirit of God within us. It's not an every now and again connection. It's a constant connection that God is calling us to. Quit attempting to produce the fruit and start tending to the tree. Amen. The fruit of the Spirit become increasingly evident in our lives through intentional engagement with the Spirit. We've already established trying harder just doesn't work. You see, fruit is always a byproduct of life. So we need to focus on yielding and listening to the Holy Spirit. And when we tend to that relationship, fruit will grow. Now, I want to give you a little Bible study lesson here. Whenever I'm studying God's Word, I look out for a few important things. One of the things I look out for is repetition. If you see something repeated, an idea, a word, a phrase in a text, pay attention. That's important. Another important Bible study tool is to always take note of the verbs in a text, the actions, especially when they come in the form of commands. Now, in our text today, the repetition is linked to a set of verbs or commands, which makes it all the more important. Listen to what Paul says four times in this short scripture. He says the same thing, but he says it four different ways. He says, walk by the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. Live by the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit. You see, our part is to tune into the Holy Spirit and to respond in obedience. And this isn't something that you just say, I'll kind of half-heartedly give that a shot. God is calling us to be all in. You know, if you were to stick your hand in a shower, would that count? Would that make you clean? No, my kids have tried it. It doesn't count. You might get a sense for the temperature of the water, but the result is not that you're clean. And the same is true in our relationship with the Holy Spirit. We can't just dabble with it. We have to be all in. We have to step in and allow the Holy Spirit to come upon us, to flow over us and in us and through us, to cleanse us, to purify us, to change us from the inside out. The literal translation of the phrase "live by the Spirit" is this: keep on walking in the Spirit. Don't you love that? It gives you the sense that it's the Spirit that enables us to keep on keeping on day after day. It reminds us that the Holy Spirit isn't just about the big decisions, the big things going on in our lives, but the Holy Spirit desires for us to follow His lead in the day-to-day activities, the daily decisions that we face. It's moment by moment relationship. And the more consistently we die to ourselves, the more consistently we yield to the Spirit, the more consistently we respond in obedience, the more we will recognize His fruit being produced in us. Now, you may say, how does this work? Like, just on a really practical level, what does this look like? Let me give you an example from my life. So a couple weeks ago, it was on a weekday morning, and I had a place I needed to be at a particular time, and I have little kids. Those two things don't always go together, right? So this morning, I thought I was really on top of things. The girls were both completely dressed, hair was done. They even had their socks and shoes on, which is no small feat in our household, all right? So they were all set. All they had to do was get their coats on, and we were ready to head out the door, and I realized I left my cell phone upstairs. So I'm like, girls, stay right here. And I ran upstairs to get my cell phone, and literally 60 seconds later, I came downstairs, and they were completely undressed. Totally. And their hair was all messed up from pulling their shirts off their heads. And I was just about to open my mouth and chastise them for being difficult children and making me late to my staff meeting when I took a breath and the Holy Spirit checked me. And the Holy Spirit impressed upon me, Kathy, the condition of their hearts is more important than your timetable this morning. And in that moment, I could make a choice. I could choose to ignore the Spirit and go with my sinful desires, or I could choose to yield to the Spirit, to listen to the Spirit, and to choose obedience. Now, I don't always get that right in the moment. Thank goodness in that instance, that time, I did. And all this patience and self-control and kindness was oozing out of me that I knew that it wasn't me. I couldn't muster that. It was completely the Spirit of God producing those things in and through me. And my children were benefactors of that. Do you see how that works? You see, when the Holy Spirit speaks, listen. When the Holy Spirit moves, follow. I think this whole series could be summed up with one word, and you know what that word is? Relationship. It's all about relationship. And it's hard for us to get our mind around that a holy, loving God wants to be in relationship with me. But it's true. It's so true that he cared enough that he sent his one and only son to die on the cross in order that he might be able to have relationship with us. Praise God. It's all about relationship. So you may say, how do I tend to that relationship? How do I make the most of that connection? Well, I think it's helpful for us to think about how we do that in our human relationships. When you want to invest in a relationship with another person, you listen. And I mean really listen. You spend time together. You carve out time to spend with them. You want to know as much as you possibly can about the other person. You want to know what makes them tick. What's important to them becomes important to you. As you find out things about you that cause pain or offense in that other person, you change out of your love for them. The same is true in our relationship with the Holy Spirit. It's all about relationship. And out of that relationship, fruit is a byproduct of that life within us. Now, we know that when a fruit tree is growing, when it's been planted, pursuing what God created it for, fruit is not produced overnight. The same is true within us. The spiritual transformation, this change of our character, this becoming like Jesus, it doesn't happen immediately. But the more we die to ourselves, the more it happens. The more we yield to the control of the Holy Spirit, the more we acknowledge our dependence on God, the more we choose to obey the leading of the Spirit rather than being pulled by our sinful desires, the more we will see that fruit displayed in our lives. And you know what excites me most about all this? Is that it doesn't just benefit us. It benefits every person we come in contact with. Our definition of discipleship at KCC can be summed up by three words: Word, Spirit, others. It's the Word of God in conjunction with the Spirit of God bringing about life change, but it doesn't stop there. It goes on so that others are impacted for Christ. I mean, don't you get excited when you think about the impact it'll have on your marriage as the Spirit is producing in you the fruit of love, the fruit of faithfulness. Consider the impact on your parenting as the fruits of patience and kindness are developed within you. The impact on your co-workers, your neighbors, your friendships when you are characterized by joy. You see, as we begin to display the character of Jesus, we will be living that abundant life that God has created us to live. And everyone who sees us won't see us. They'll see Jesus. And they will be drawn to him through us.